We've reported here on people claiming their pets as service animals when they're not, to get them on planes and stuff. Kind of shameful. We've also reported on wonderful organizations that train real service dogs to help people with physical and emotional disabilities. One is NEEDS in Western Massachusetts. Inmates at a correctional facility spend months training NEEDS dogs to do things like turn a light switch on.
Nudge.
Yes,
nice.
Go boy.
Very good.
Or open a refrigerator door and get a dumbbell, which may one day be a water bottle. He pulls the string, opens the fridge door, and gets the dumbbell. Close the door.
Good boy, closer. Hold. Give. Yes. Go boy. Good fridge, buddy.
The dogs are also trained to detect medical attacks or sadness, using their bodies to absorb a fall or pain. But it turns out there's a cottage industry of scam service dog providers, what our next guest calls a Wild West. People, well-intentioned but unequipped to train dogs, and those who are outright con artists. In 2012, Illinois officials sued the company Animals for Autism, which took thousands from families and never provided dogs. There's a bill being considered in Massachusetts to address the problem. And the Associated Press did a deep dive. What they found is disturbing. In a few minutes, we're going to hear from a victim of a fake service dog sale. But first, David Favor, law professor at Michigan State College of Law, editor of its Animal Legal and Historical Center website. And professor, you called this the Wild West. Why?
Because it's unregulated. Anybody can be a participant. There's low entry. It's all over the internet. People really have to be careful of scams.
Well, what about certification or registration or licensing? We were reading that one of these companies had to surrender its license in Colorado. What kind of license?
I suspect that was just a breeding license because, to my knowledge, there's no formal governmental process requiring licensing.
And this notion that, you know, you can just bring a dog into an area, is there confusion, you know, for people maybe between a pet and a working dog?
Oh, there's tremendous confusion. The two big things, a service animal is an animal under the Americans with Disability Act who has been trained to do something on behalf of a human. It could be opening a door, listening for sounds, and they're the ones that are allowed to go around in the public areas with their human. The other category that people confuse is emotional support animals who, under the Federal Housing Act, are allowed to be with humans within their housing only if they have a letter from a medical person that says that they need an emotional support animal for their psychological well-being.
Right, and by the way, both of those get abused by people who claim those dogs when they aren't actually playing that
yes.
role.
Yeah, we got fraud going on at all kinds of levels here. Yes.
Yeah. There is an International Association of Assistance Dog Partners who, you know, say a service animal should have a minimum of 120 hours of schooling over 6 months or more. What is the kind of training that produces a real service dog?
Well, I would have to agree with that organization. Usually it starts with the young dog and you have to train it like you would your pet at a high level of obedience. Then you have to begin to train it for specific needs, either autism or PSD or whatever the particular need of the human might be. And that would take months in and of itself. So the organization you referred to is one of a number who are trying to create a private system of registration for those that are doing the good job. But there's no law that requires that to happen.
Well, people might point to the Americans with Disabilities Act.
All it says is that they must be trained. That's the only language that's in the actual law itself. It doesn't say how they're to be trained, doesn't do anything.
And also, the Department of Justice prohibits local and state agencies from requiring that the dogs be registered?
Well, it's that the federal law preempts the area so that while state law can come into existence, it can't overturn the federal law. So since the federal law doesn't require a formal registration system, a state law can't put it into place to trump the federal.
And why do you think this is happening, that there are so many of these companies and so many scams?
Well, it used to be a very quiet enterprise, but with the service and assistance animals and emotional support animals that have been in the news so much for the past, say, 3 years or so, all of a sudden people with bad intentions or ill-informed have woken up to the idea there's all these people out there and they all need animals to do it and they see how long it takes to get the animals and so they're looking for ways to cut corners. So the visible entry into the system is just too easy.
We've watched dogs be trained over the course of a year and a half and it can cost up to $50,000, which is why, you know, nonprofits are doing this and trying to raise outside money to do it.
Right.
What small family operation can afford $50,000 per dog over a year and a half?
They can't, no.
Yeah. What more do you want people to know from your research?
Well, you really shouldn't use any organization that you don't get personal references from somebody that you trust.
Yeah. David Favor, a law professor at Michigan State College of Law, also the editor of its Animal Legal and Historical Center website. David, thanks so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Well, let's bring in Rebecca Peluso. She's one of 52 people across the country who filed complaints against the North Carolina-based Rycon Service Dogs Company, run by Mark Mathis, who claimed he trained big Briard dogs for children with autism. Rebecca said she paid $14,000 for a dog that not only wasn't trained to help one of her twin daughters, Ella, who has autism, but wasn't trained, period, and got out of hand. North Carolina's attorney general filed a motion to dismiss Mark Mathis's bankruptcy filing. The local station CBS 17 reported he spent much of the nonprofit's money on restaurants, a cruise, dating websites. Rebecca joins us now from her home in Jacksonville, Florida. Rebecca, what did his website say that made you think this was a safe bet?
Well, reading that he was certified as a North Carolina state-approved service dog trainer with a specialty in autism service dogs for children really stood out to me.
Yeah, I imagine it did. And what did you think when you heard, as we just did, there is no such thing as a state-approved service dog trainer?
It was flabbergasting. There's really no regulations in this industry.
Yeah. And why did you want a dog so badly? What is the issue you'd hope the dog would help with?
Well, number one for my daughter is her running. She's ran off before, and that puts her in danger. And we would hoping it would open a door to us to be a part of the world, part of our own community, by being able to get out of the house and not worry about her running off as much or her meltdown she'd have in stores. A trained service dog can do deep pressure therapy to help calm a child during these meltdowns.
Deep pressure therapy, they can actually lean their paws or their heads on places to reduce that anxiety?
Correct.
Yeah. So you're hoping this would change everything. How did you come up with that money?
I sold my dining room table. Yeah. I sold my bed. I had many yard sales. I sold numerous personal items.
Yeah. You trusted. Suddenly you're getting a call from him, as were a lot of other families. Come get your dog. The training wasn't finished, he said. But he was shutting down, and he said it was because of people complaining unfairly about his business. But you get the dog, bring the dog that's ultimately named Puzzle home. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, she should have been close to finish training. Got her home. She immediately went after neighborhood cats. Our corgi was in boarding. Corgi comes home. She goes after the corgi. She was nipping at my children. Took about 3 weeks, got her weight up so she looked like a normal dog, but she has a high prey drive, these dogs, which means they go after smaller animals, which most animals are smaller than them.
Yeah. Well, that's no good.
The end result was the fact when she went after the other twin, jumped up on her, tried to pull her shirt off, knocked her down and clawed at her legs, leaving marks all over her legs. And the dog ultimately had to be rehomed to an experienced Briard home.
Yeah. You looked around and you found a woman who got homes for Briards and did for this for Puzzle, thankfully, because it's not Puzzle's fault. So what was this like when your twin Emma was knocked down by what was supposed to be a service dog, Puzzle, that was supposed to service her twin, Ella? What was that like?
She was scared to death and crying. She said she didn't want to be in any room that dog was in anymore.
Have you seen real service dogs in action? Have you seen what they can do?
I had only seen probably what the general public had seen prior to this situation, you know, out and about.
Well, we've been talking about this. It's an amazing thing what these dogs can do after months and months of training. I can't imagine knowing what might have been possible, how that feels to you.
It was like having the rug ripped up from underneath of you. He stole hopes and dreams from these children and from these families.
Look, we should say that Mark Mathis has written to the state of North Carolina after complaints from you and others. He says it's part of a coordinated effort by a political Facebook group. They were started to protest service dogs. They turned its sights on Rycon. They are opportunistic families. And the cost of, you know, running this kind of a business was just not sustainable. And that's why he closed down. You say what?
Well, I guess it's not sustainable if you're taking the money and using it for personal expenses and purchases.
Yeah. And by the way, how does Ella take all this in? This was supposed to be her guiding light.
She's heartbroken. She thinks the dog went away to get better so it can be her service dog.
Yeah. Very, very sad. And as you well know, there are stories that are horrific. There is a family that talks about a service dog that they had to take away from a young girl. Who knows if there's a connection, but she soon killed herself. What would you like to see happen here? I know you want to get your money back, but what overall would you like to see happen?
I would like to see some federal regulations come into play. There should be some mandates that they have to meet to be a service dog company.
I understand you're getting a golden retriever just to have a companion dog. Are you going to try to train it as a service dog or get it trained?
He's going to be a started service dog. He won't be have all the tasks trained that we need. My daughter's actually named the poor dog Ray of Light Taco Pudding Party.
How do you call that?
He'll be called Ray for short.
Well, Rebecca Peluso, we wish you the best of luck, you and Ella and your family.
Thank you.
And by the way, she told us she can't afford to train Ray now, but hopefully in time.